It's so good to be back with you here again. I'm on Rath Ryland. It's wonderful to be able to come and share again the God's Word. As our brother has said, there's been a few changes. We were last at Ballykeel Baptist, and now since we moved over to Lurgan, the Lord has called us over to Mournview Assembly. So we're there and we're settled. And then another one of the changes that has happened was the last time we were here, we were away with the youth, and we were taking a weekend, and my wife was expecting. We were expecting a little boy. And so the Lord has blessed us and the little ones in the home. And he's coming up now 9 months. So there's been big changes in the Hearn family. And the Lord has been so good to us. And we want to give him all the glory and all the praise for all the things that he has done for us. I have one announcement I want to make. There's a few little booklets down at the back at the front door, Search the Scriptures. A few of the gentlemen in Mournview Assembly, we've gathered together. Myself and Kenny, we've done the first booklet. And really there's 7 or 6 fields of truth. Those of the young men from the assembly here who have been coming to the preachers and teachers class, you'll know that we've been going through these fields of truth. And so there's fundamental truth, doctrinal truth, dispensational truth, devotional truth, practical truth, and evangelical truth. And that's what we've been doing in this little booklet. So there's 16 or 17 of them down at the door. And if you don't all stampede out to get one, the first 17 will get the booklet and you'll be able to read through it. And may the Lord bless you as you do so. Now we're turning to Luke's Gospel tonight, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel in chapter 16. And I want to read a few verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. There's a little text, two little words in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I want to concentrate our attention on tonight. And to get these two little words, I want us to read a few verses from this passage of Scripture. They're well-known verses. I would have a hard time preaching this message tonight if the Lord didn't lay it upon my heart. And so I know it's a message that God has given me for the assembly here this evening, and we want to just read a few verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm beginning to read at verse number 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, and this is the two little words I want to preach on tonight. Abraham said, Son, remember. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is tormented, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So the day which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. And we know God will bless the public reading of his word for his name's sake. It's that little verse there, verse 25. It really came into my mind through the week as I was preparing for this message. Really, if truth be told, I forgot I had to preach in Rath Ryland tonight. And I got a little text there through the week from Ian, and he said to me, Brother, is everything okay for Sunday evening? And I had completely forgot. And so I had to get down before the Lord and seek the Lord for a message tonight. And these are the two little words that came into my mind in verse 25. Son, remember. You will find that in the Word of God, over 140 times in Scripture, this phrase, remember or remembrance or remembered, is found 140 times. And you will know as well as I do that this word remembrance, it just simply means to be recalled to mind. Or it simply means to remind oneself of a certain truth. And so when we come to preach the gospel message tonight, and every Sunday men come and stand upon the platform and preach the gospel message, they're reminding men and women, boys and girls, old people and young people, of a Savior who died upon the cross and rose again to save them from their sins. And so this little phrase, son, remember. You'll also know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he used this type of ministry on a daily basis. He was forever bringing to the remembrance of the people that listened to him certain things concerning himself. You remember on that memorable occasion when the Lord Jesus, he fed the 5,000. And then just after a little while, the Lord, he was traveling across there on the boat, and the Lord had said he had no bread, and then the disciples, they started to talk about themselves, and then the Lord said that little phrase, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And the Savior turned around to the disciples and he says, do you not remember the first time how I created bread from absolutely nothing? It was a glorious act of creation. Christ brought into existence what hadn't been there before. And so he was bringing to the remembrance things that he had done. And then you remember how he brought to the remembrance of the crowds certain prophecies. He brought those remembrances to the disciples' minds. How he said to them, I would go and be in Galilee. I would rise again from the dead. And so all through Christ's ministry, all through his life, he was continually reminding the people about things that he had taught concerning himself. You see, I feel the weight of it tonight, my brother, my sister, and those of you in the meeting that are not saved. It is a gospel preacher's job to remind the people of their need of Christ. You see, here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ is recalling, I want to say this with a lot of emphasis, a true account. There has been a lot of debate down through the years that whether this is a parable or whether the flames that are spoken about in Luke's Gospel chapter 16 are literal flames. But there's one thing I know about Luke's Gospel chapter 16 and the flames of hell is this, that no matter whether they're literal flames or they're flames that we can think about in our own mind, they're flames that will burn and burn and burn. And the soul that will be in a Christless hell will be there for all eternity. And the flames of hell will forever rage. They'll always be there. And the reason why I believe and I know this to be a true account is because the Lord Jesus Christ, he uses names, Lazarus, just mentions a rich man. He talks about places, he talks about feelings, and then he talks about memories. Talks about memories. And you see, I want to use this little verse, verse 25, really as a platform. Because I want to bring to your remembrance some sinners in the Scriptures where they were faced with the gospel message. They heard that they needed to turn to Christ. They heard that they needed to be gloriously saved. They heard the gospel. But yet they rejected the Savior. And they went out into a lost eternity. You see, this passage of Scripture, it gives us an insight into all who die without Christ. There's something I want to show you from this passage of Scripture tonight, and it has startled me as I have studied down through it this week. There's one thing about the place of hell that has scared me this week more than anything at all. And so I want to make a statement tonight, and I want you to really listen to what I say. All sinners that have died without Christ, somewhere in this world tonight, their bodies are in the ground. Now you think of it. All who have died without Christ tonight, somewhere in this world,
Their bodies are in the grave. Whether it be a bone, or whether it be dust, their bodies are in the grave. And we can see very clearly from Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, it says in verse 22, that the rich man also died and was buried. Somewhere in this world tonight, the rich man's body is in the grave. It's in the grave. But his soul and his memory is in hell. His body's in the grave, but his soul and his memory is in hell. Can you see it? He has no brain, but yet he can remember. He has no blood, but yet he can feel. He has no body, but yet he is conscious of all the things that are around him. His body is in the grave, but his soul and his memory is in eternal hell. And I don't think hell would be just as bad, and I say it reverently, if it wasn't for this memory. Dear unsaved soul, tonight, if you were to go out of them doors and die without Christ, your body will fall to the ground. But as soon as your soul would even depart, your soul will be in a lost eternity and your memory will be in hell. And you will remember all the gospel meetings that you have ever sat in. I believe with all my heart that God will bring to remembrance every gospel meeting you ever sat in. God will bring to your mind every time you heard the gospel being preached with all its power and all its unction and the demonstration of the Spirit of God sent down from heaven. And all those nights when you sat in the gospel meeting and the Spirit of God was pricking your heart and pricking your conscience and you knew with all your soul you needed to get right with Christ. And he'll bring it to your remembrance. You can see why tonight this is a solemn message. Solemn message. If you go to hell tonight without Christ, you won't have your body, but you'll have your memory. Think of the changes that your body has been through from a child until now. Think of it. I look at a little baby boy there and as he wriggles about on the floor. Someday he'll grow up to be a man. His body will have been completely changed. And as we sit here now in this meeting, constantly there are cells that are dying and there's cells that are being replaced. And there's probably absolutely nothing of Jonathan Heron standing in the pulpit of what there was when I was a little baby boy. But I still got my memory. I can still look back to times in my life's experience as a child. Them memories are there. I can still look back at times in my life when certain experiences and trials came over me. The memories are there. And I'm sure you can look back in your times experience and in your life to certain memories that have happened. Oh, people say to me, but brother, the years fairly went in. There's a January over, February started. Before we know it, we'll be at the end of the year. And people can look back at years gone by, 30 or 40 years, and just remember as if it was yesterday. But your body's changed. And you see, this man in the lost eternity, he remembers. Lazarus says to him, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted. And thou art tormented. That word tormented is to do with the mind. It'll be a mental torment in the place of hell. If we were to descend into hell just now, we would see different degrees of punishment according to the sinner's deeds. If you were to go over to Revelation chapter 20, when all the sinners of all the world stand before the holy God on that fearful day, the great white throne judgment, you will see that the book is opened. And the dead are judged out of those things that are written in the books, and every man will receive according to his works. According to his works. And I can see great signs over every cell. And I can see the names of every sinner that has ever died. And I can see the date that they were born and the date that they have died. And I can see the fearful and the unbelieving. I can see those that are abominable, those that are idolaters, those that are liars, those that are blasphemers. You see, they've went to a lost eternity not because of their sins. Not because they were liars or because they were blasphemers. But because they didn't repent. They heard the gospel. They heard they needed to be saved. And they done nothing about it. I go a little bit further and I come across a man I've been reading about just now. The rich man. Just for a moment I want you to think about this rich man's way. I want you to see something from the childhood until the chains. From the day in which he was born until the day that he died. He was a rich man. And if I was to write something over the rich man's life, I would say this. I would say the rich man, he loved his salary. Loved his salary. He fared sumptuously every day. Not just on Sundays, not just on Saturdays, but he fared sumptuously every day. He was a rich man. He had all that he needed. All the world's disposal was at his fingertips. And he loved money. And oh, there might be a soul here tonight, there might be a gentleman, there might be a woman, and you love your money and you'll not part from it. You've got a good job, you've got a fancy car, a lovely home, everything that life's work can afford you and money can give you, but you don't have Christ. You don't have Christ. And oh, this rich man, he had his money, he had everything that he needed. And tonight he's in hell. Can you see what he said there to Abraham? He said, Abraham, have mercy on me. And I say to the rich man in hell tonight, it's a little late for mercy. It's a little late for mercy. Oh, if he had cried for mercy when he was alive, God would have given mercy, and yea, he would have given him grace. And now he's in a lost eternity and he cries out, Father Abraham, have mercy on my soul. You'll notice he doesn't want to get saved. You see, he's looking out for number one. The flames of hell are coming up. And oh, he's still thinking about self. He's still thinking about number one. Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's in hell. And he's thinking of itself. And this man went to a lost eternity because he loved his money and he rejected Christ, and I'm sure he heard the gospel. Out of Christ, without a Savior. But you see, I not only think about the rich man's way, but there's another person in the scripture that I think about when I think about these words, son, remember. Son, remember. I think about Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife there in Genesis chapter 19. You remember how Uncle Abraham there, he's out on the mountainside and he's interceding before God. And there Uncle Abraham, he's praying for Lot and he's praying for Lot's wife and he's maybe praying for a few children. Can I say tonight, is there an unsaved soul in the meeting and there's a loved one praying for you? We were in a prayer meeting just before the gospel service. And there was brethren and they were praying for unsaved loved ones. They were interceding that God might break in and save them and set them free from sin. That they might find Christ, the Savior that saved them. And oh, she was a privileged woman. And maybe you're a privileged woman, a boy or girl, man or woman tonight. And you have someone praying for you and you're still not saved. Abraham was interceding. And then you remember how she not only had interceding Abraham, but she had a gracious invitation from these two angels. These angels entered into Sodom and Gomorrah. And they told Lot of the awful thing that was about to happen.
said, Lot, you need to go and tell everybody. And it says Lot seemed as one that mocked. Nobody believed him.
And then you remember it came to the point where the angels actually literally grabbed Lot and his family, and they lifted them out and set him without the city. And they gave two simple instructions. Get out and don't look back. And you remember how they ran out through the city, and all of a sudden Lot, he was going through as fast as he could, shouting to his family, don't look back, don't look back. And she stopped.
And she looked back and she became a pillar of salt.
And you see, if the rich man loved his salary, Lot's wife loved Sodom.
She loved her sin.
And there's many, 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 many people in the world tonight, and they're not saved because they love their sin. Just one more night in the dance club. Just one more drink. Just one more party with friends. Just one more time to have self and sin and fun. And oh, it could be too late. Son, remember. If you're a gentleman tonight and you're controlled by money, when you lift up your eyes in hell, you'll remember. Old Judas is in hell tonight because of money, 30 pieces of silver. He remembers. He remembers the night when he sat beside Christ at the table, and the Lord Jesus looked him straight in the eyes and said, "What thou doest, do quickly." And Judas getting up and walking out the door into the darkness of night, Christ never moved. He remembers. And if you're like Lot's wife tonight, and it's not a salary, but it's Sodom, it's the sin of the world, when you get into a lost eternity, you'll remember. You'll remember. But you see, I not only think about the rich man's way, and I not only think about Lot's wife, but I think about Pilate's worry. If we could say the rich man loved his salary and Lot's wife loved Sodom, well, you could say that Pilate loved his standing or his stature. Well, if I could paint a picture for you tonight of Lot or of Pilate standing before Christ and Christ standing before Pilate. And it says Pilate sat upon the judgment seat, the Bema, the greatest court in the country at that time. And there was Christ standing before Pilate in all his humility and all his lowliness and all his meekness as a lamb led to the slaughter. And great big Pontius Pilate, he was so proud. Oh, he was a king. He was a Roman governor. And here he stands before Christ. And you remember there in John's Gospel on many, many occasions he says, I find no fault in this man at all. You know, I often, as I read through all the accounts of Pilate's life through the week, for all the times, you'll find that Pilate asks 14 questions. He just asks questions. Art thou the king of the Jews? Who should I release unto you, Barabbas or this man? He asks 14 questions. He had many questions about Christ. Art thou a God then? Art thou a king? He asks many questions. And there's maybe a sinner in the meeting tonight and you have many questions about Christ. There's many questions go through your mind. Is there really a God? Who created the world? Many things. And you see, the only person who could answer Pilate's questions were standing before him. And Pilate only worried about his stature. State. Standing in himself. You remember how Pilate's wife came in and said to him, oh, dear husband, have nothing to do with that just man, because I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. And you remember when he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, art thou a king then? And he said, oh, thou sayest. And then it says he was more afraid. He knew within his heart of hearts that that man that stood before him was sinless and spotless and holy and crimeless. He was the Son of God. And he picked up that basin of water and he washed his hands. And I tell you tonight, Pilate is in hell with blood upon his hands.
and he crucified the Savior.
And I think about the rich man's way, and I think about Lot's wife, and I think about Pilate's worry. Oh, he just worried about himself, and he's in hell tonight.
And he remembers.
And someday this great clash between men is going to be turned. And as I sit and I meditate about these things, I see Christ upon the judgment throne in Revelation chapter 20. And I see wee puny Pilate standing before him. Sometimes we say, my, how the tables have turned. And Pilate standing before Christ.
And he remembers. He remembers.
But then I not only think about the rich man's way and Lot's wife and Pilate's worry, but I think about another man, Felix. I think about Felix's wish. You remember there in Acts chapter 24, I think it is, how Paul is standing before Felix.
And he reasons with him from the scriptures. Temperance, righteousness, judgment to come.
The reason why Paul speaks to Felix about temperance is because Drusilla was Felix's third wife. And Felix was Drusilla's second wife. Felix actually went and got his friend who was a Jew to go to Drusilla who was a Jew and persuade her to leave her husband and come and marry Felix. And Felix said he would give her all the pleasures of the world if she would marry him. And Paul stands up and he puts his finger right upon the spot and he says, Felix, your problem is temperance.
He says, you're a lustful man. Lustful man.
And there could be a soul in the meeting tonight and it could be the spouse that's keeping you back from Christ. Could be lust. And Felix turned round to Paul and said to him, Paul, you go your way. And you come back to me when I have a more convenient season.
And I tell you, Felix's season never came. Never came.
And what Felix basically was saying was this, Paul, you just get away from me. I don't want to hear this gospel preaching anymore. You come back to me, Paul, when I'm ready to get saved. And you know, tradition tells us that Felix realized that he had got his final chance to get right with Christ. And tradition tells us that Felix committed suicide. He went out to a great lake. And looking at his reflection in the water, he realized that he'd missed his chance to get right with God. And he threw himself in. And oh, you might be sitting in the meeting tonight and you might be gripping the pew physically. You might be clenching your teeth. You might be saying in your mind, I am not going to get right with Christ. I'll get saved tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You could go out tonight, miss your chance to get right with Christ. The rich man's way, he loved the salary. Lot's wife, she loved Sodom. Pilate's worry, he loved the stature. Felix, his wish, he loved the spice. But the final person I want to speak about tonight is Agrippa's want. He loved his sect. He was a Jew. Paul was before the king again, King Agrippa, giving his testimony. And he got old Agrippa to come in and he said to him, oh Agrippa, you know about the prophets, Agrippa. I know that thou believest. Believest what the prophets say. He got Agrippa into a corner. And Agrippa said, just with that irony and earnestness, he said, oh, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I think he said it earnestly and I think he said it just with a bit of irony as well. Almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, Paul, your testimony, it's out of this world. And what you say about Christ, it's so true. How he saved you on the road to Damascus. How you saw him as a light above the brightness of the sun. And how you're changed. You used to be a tyrant, Paul, and now you're a saint. You almost persuade me to be a Christian, Paul. Almost persuaded. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're almost persuaded. Almost persuaded that Christ is who he said he is. Almost persuaded that you need to be saved. But as a little hymn says, almost persuaded. Almost but lost. If I could just finish up by reading some words in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 5 and 8. I want you to see Christ's witness. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 5 and 8. Says, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Here's the angels. And they're speaking to the disciples on the first day of the week. And it says, he is not here, but risen. There's our word. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Here's the gospel. Here's the witness of Christ to a dying world. He says he is not here, but he is risen. Remember. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And dear unsaved soul, tonight, this is the message I believe that the rich man heard. This is the message that Lot's wife heard in not so many words. This is the message that Pilate heard, because the fame of Christ went throughout all the land. This is a message that Felix heard, because I am sure Paul preached it better than I could. And this is a message that Agrippa heard. And tonight, dear unsaved soul, this is a message that you've heard. Christ died upon the cross for your sin. And not just the sin of the whole world, but your sin was laid upon him at Calvary. And he bore your sin. Oh, you think about it, your sin. I think about it, my sin. Laid upon Christ. And he died. And he was buried. And the third day he rose again. Dear unsaved soul, tonight Christ is alive. He's alive. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And because he lives, he's able to save all them that come unto God by him. You can get saved tonight. You can be born again. You can get what the scriptures call God's salvation, new life in Christ. Paul tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And dear unsaved soul, you can get tonight what all those people in hell don't have, and that's peace. It passes all understanding. I was speaking to a friend the other day in work. He's not saved and he's going through an awful time. And life's circumstances and life's trials have come his way, and it's just awful. If I was to tell you what happened, you wouldn't believe me. And I says to him, William, there's one thing that you don't have. And I says, that's peace. And there's one thing a sinner doesn't have in this world, and that is peace. And it's not just a peace that the world gives, but a peace that God gives. And when you have the peace of God deep down in your soul, because you've sins forgiven, and you know that you've been saved, oh, you have a peace. A peace that you can lay your head down in the pillow at night, and know that you're Christ's. Oh, dear unsaved soul, tonight, I want you to remember. Remember what Christ said he was going to do. Die upon a cross for the sins of the world. Be buried, and the third day rise again. And tonight he is a savior of all men. And if you want to be saved tonight,
you must come to Christ. Repent of your sin. Put your trust in Him, and He will save you for time and for eternity. Remember the rich man. Remember Lot's wife, for Christ said that too in John's Gospel. Remember Pilate's worry. Remember Felix's wish. Remember Agrippa's want. But above all and above else, remember Christ's witness. He's alive. And just as I bring our meeting to a close, I believe in the gospel meeting, something that is more solemn and more serious than anything else that I have said tonight is this. That Christ is in this meeting. He's here. And if you can sit in this meeting tonight not saved, knowing that Christ is here, Christ is as real to me in this meeting as any of yous are before me. And He is going from seat to seat and from heart to heart, and He is pressing His finger upon each button that He has to press on that's a problem in your life. He's here. And He is speaking to your soul. And I pray tonight with all the power of God that you will not leave this meeting until you get right with Christ. You could go out of this meeting tonight and wake up in hell. God didn't have to give the rich man any explanations. He'll do that at the judgment seat. The man just lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He died, and he went to lost eternity. But tonight, Christ is able to save. Let us pray.